Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 143 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh, helping you figure out this crazy sober journey and get your life together and live happy. That's what we do around here. So, you guys, January is like this crazy busy month, and I've been talking to you about it in little snippets, and today I'm going to expand on that, and I'm going to keep things in order, right? Literally, there are so many things happening in January. I want to just tell you about the very next thing so we can focus on that, and once we're into that, I'll tell you about the next thing and the next thing. So, a lot of you have already signed up for our Dry January event, a 5-day Go Dry challenge. This is going to be awesome. And this really is great for any stage of sobriety, right? You don't have to be at day one or month one to get a lot out of this challenge. It will be an incredible refresher if you're into your sobriety a little bit, because what we're going to do is each of those 5 days, we're going to work on one foundational piece of recovery and really life in general. But a foundational piece, there are certain things that are so important that you have in place to support you in this journey. And you hear me talk about them on these episodes all the time. So we're going to put this together, short and sweet, 5-day challenge. We've got a pop-up Facebook group that opens on January 7th. So I want you to get over to www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day, D-A-Y. www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day. And get signed up, because the pop-up Facebook group is going to open on January 7th. So starting next week, I'm going to get all the welcome emails out to everybody who has signed up. We're going to start getting you in that Facebook group, start some good conversation. I'm going to go live every single day in that Facebook group. All the action is going to happen in that pop-up Facebook group. So I'll go live each day. I'll tell you what we're doing, what we're working on. And I want you to really be a part of this and really have fun with it. We're going to give away prizes. I think I was telling you that on the last episode too. And you'll notice a theme throughout this challenge. And I want you to be committed from the beginning. Okay, the theme really is plan ahead. The more awareness you have in advance, the better your outcome will be in every situation, but certainly with sobriety. And let me tell you what you need for this challenge. We're keeping this simple, my friends. You need to be open-minded. Listen to hear how things will serve you. Don't be a person who listens for why they are different, listening just to discount the things we're talking about and figure out why it won't work for you. Be open. I will not give you information or ideas that don't work, right? Everything I talk about is stuff that I do myself and things, how I do my recovery, my life, everything, and exactly the same things I do with my clients for 100 years. So I'm not going to give you anything that's crazy or doesn't work. And remember, when you're early in sobriety, you aren't making your best decisions. So just like I say in the podcast, if your head says no, it's a pretty safe bet that you should probably say yes to whatever the thing is. And beyond that, what can it hurt to try something? Even if you think it may not work for you, or you think it sounds stupid or like it's a waste of time, will it really kill you to just try? Is your obstinance more important than your success? Think about that and be open-minded. The other thing is be teachable. Don't say in your head, you don't need to do that. That's not for me. I don't need that. Or think, I'll do it later. If you're doing that from the beginning, you're already setting yourself up for failure, right? Being teachable is the same things we just talked about, being open-minded. Be teachable. Take suggestions. Be willing to explore something instead of saying, oh, I know. I've done that before. I've tried that before. That didn't work for me. I know. Listen, my friends, knowing what to do isn't what's holding you back. It's doing it. That's the problem, right? We all know what to do, right? I know what to do to lose weight. It's actually following through and doing it long enough to be successful at it. That's the problem. That's why we have coaches for everything, because we need accountability to follow through. Of course you know, but again, knowing isn't what's stopping you. So be teachable, be open to these things. Be open-minded, be willing to try, and if you've tried it before and it didn't work, whatever the thing is, remember that that was a different time and a different version of you. So just because something didn't work a month ago or 3 years ago doesn't mean it won't work for you today, as you're in a new mindset and you're being more open and you're being teachable and your commitment is stronger, right? Things that didn't work for you before may very well work for you today. So think about it. Just be open-minded, be teachable. When something is important to you, you will make the time, you will create the time to actually do the things and follow through on the actions. That's what commitment is. And again, I want you to set yourself up for success from the very beginning. We want a commitment, and this is only 5 days. Listen, I'm not proposing to you for the rest of your life. I'm proposing to you for 5 days, maybe a little longer if you think we're a good fit, you know, but this is short, but it is a commitment. And being committed doesn't mean being committed until it's uncomfortable or difficult or you just don't feel like it. Commitment means I continue to do it even when it's uncomfortable, difficult, and I just don't feel like it, okay? I'm going to save you a ton of time and confusion and make this super easy for you. We're going to create this blueprint in 5 days. The better your blueprint, the better your success, and we're going to have fun doing it, right? And we're going to give away prizes. So that is the 5-day challenge, 5-day go dry challenge, www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day, the number 5-day, D-A-Y, /5-day. Okay, outside of that, we're going to talk about a couple of different things today. We're going to talk about closing down 2020 on a positive note, which I know may be challenging for some of us because this thing has been quite a roller coaster and really pushing us out of our comfort zones. But that's exactly what we need too, right? So we're going to talk about closing down 2020 on a positive note so that we can start 2021 on freaking fire. We want to go into 2021 with a killer attitude. We want to get clear on drinking, clear on changes we want to make, clear what we want to work on, clear on who you want to be. And part of this conversation, getting clear on your drinking, is I want to touch on drinking, alcoholic drinking, and binge drinking, because there are some differences in these things. And I want to make sure you have a clear understanding of kind of where you fall, because I know it gets really confusing for people who are more binge drinkers rather than regular drinkers, daily drinkers, or 4 times a week drinkers. So we're going to touch on that. You know, according to the CDC, only 10% of the population is alcoholic, right, has a physical dependence to alcohol. And I should probably take a minute to explain that too, because I think this is a stumbling point for a lot of people. I'll have people all the time tell me they don't have a physical dependence to alcohol. But if you have a hangover, you have a physical dependence to alcohol. Now, physical dependence doesn't last forever, right? As you go through your hangover or your detox, when you're deciding to quit drinking, you're detoxing. When alcohol leaves your body, that physical dependence is going to end, right? Because you've cycled it all out of you. But that's what physical dependence means, right? You have physical symptoms, a physical reaction to not drinking. That's all it is. If you've ever had a hangover, that's physical dependency. It doesn't mean that you have to have it for the rest of your life and it's this big dramatic ordeal. It just means you drank, you have physical symptoms, here we are, okay? I think we can all relate to that. I think most of the world has had a damn hangover. So that's all that means. Now, also, there are different stages of drinking. And it's only kind of toward the end stage that you get to a spot where you're in trouble, right? So there's experimental drinking, you know, where you're just using alcohol, you're checking it out. This is, for a lot of alcoholics, tends to happen pretty young. I was a little bit of a late bloomer, so I didn't really experiment with alcohol until I was, I don't know, probably 20, and really drinking regular, maybe at 21. But you have that using alcohol, then you have misusing alcohol, where you're using it a little more than you should. Then you have abusing alcohol, right, where you're really misusing it, taking it to an extreme, having some consequences, having fights with friends or family. People are asking you to stop. You're not. And then you have dependence, right? And it really is, once you're in that dependence, addiction, whatever you want to call it, people get so hung up on words. I don't know what makes anybody happy anymore, but whatever you want to call that space, once you're there, that's the spot that you can't move backwards from. Okay. If I'm just misusing alcohol, if I'm in that stage of just a little misuse here and there, I can still go backwards from there. I can back up my drinking and get my act together, because at that stage of the game also, I don't have the mental dependence on it either. See, this is where we get in trouble in those later stages, because we're using alcohol to achieve something. We're using it to change how we feel. We're using it to take care of our social anxiety. We're using it to flirt better because we feel more comfortable and more free after a couple of drinks because the anxiety is gone. We're using it to not feel bored anymore, right? When you're using alcohol to achieve a result, that's where things get tricky on the mental side, because non-alcoholic people don't do that, right? Alcohol is not a tool for comfort, but alcoholics use it that way, right? So it's already that unnatural relationship with alcohol. So once you're in that stage where you've got the physical part, right? You feel bad when you don't drink. And listen, you guys, that doesn't mean that you're getting up and drinking in the morning. Like, try not to think about all those indicators that you read, because not all of those things are going to pertain to each and every one of us. And I've said this on the podcast before too. There are a lot of the symptoms, like how do you know if you're an alcoholic? A lot of those things didn't pertain to me. Those things didn't match my drinking. But I promise you, I was an alcoholic. I drank every day, but I didn't get up and drink in the morning. I wasn't drinking alone, locked away in my house, you know? I mean, I did that sometimes, but only because everybody else went to bed. I didn't black out, right? That wasn't a huge part of my story. So try not to use those things to judge where you are. You know inside yourself, you know where you are in this journey. You're the only person that knows your truth 150%. because you can tell everybody in the outside world, you can tell them whatever you want to. You can create whatever picture you want for the outside world. But you on the inside, you know your truth. And you know if you are in a stage of just misusing alcohol a little bit, or if you're in the stage that it has become an important part of your life, even if that's not frequently, right? And this is where we enter binge drinking. So binge drinking are people who only drink, you know, once a week or once a month. I'm only drinking on Saturday nights. I dated a guy a long time ago. That was his thing. He only drank on Saturday night. And that's how he convinced himself that he didn't have a problem with alcohol, because he only drank once a week. The frequency of how often you drink is not the important detail. Why this is challenging for binge drinkers, if you're only drinking once a week or twice a month or once a month, whatever your magic number is, you can convince yourself that you have some element of control, right? Your head, the committee, is telling you, well, surely I'm not an alcoholic. Like, I go all week without drinking. I don't even think about it. I don't have cravings. I don't want a drink through the week. It's just every once in a while. It's just on Saturday nights. Like, I dated that guy only on Saturday nights. But the important detail of this is how you drink when you drink. I don't care if you only drink once a year. If you drink out of control and get crazy and cause some chaos and drama, have a horrible hangover the next day, have to be making apologies to people, that is not quote unquote normal drinking. That is drinking out of control. And it's really that loss of control that's the problem. It doesn't matter how frequently you do it. If you are still doing it out of control and still using it to achieve something, telling yourself, oh, it'll be fun. Well, why can't you have fun in your normal state of mind? That's really the problem. You got to figure out how to manage yourself and your emotions yourself, and not using outside people, things, substances, money, sex, material things, right? Not using outside stuff to make you feel better or different or more comfortable or whatever. So, you can still be an alcoholic as a binge drinker, right? You can still be an alcoholic and only drink a couple of times a month, or only drink on the weekends, right? It's just a little more challenging on the mental side of things, because it's harder to understand that you still don't have control, right? But it is about the control and the loss of control once you have a drink. It's not how many days a week or a month you have drinks. It's when you do have a drink, what happens. So get clear on that piece for yourself. And I really wanted to talk about this too, because I feel like it's been coming up a little more frequently about some confusion around that binge drinking. Like, I don't drink every day. Maybe I'm not an alcoholic. You know, I'm only drinking on special occasions, or I only drink on the weekends. Like I said, I want you to be able to have some clarity around that, right? It's not about the frequency of which you drink. It's about what happens in the loss of control once you do drink. Again, I don't care if that's once a year, right? So get clear on that part of things. And then get clear on who you want to be moving forward. And we're going to have some more stuff around that in a few minutes. Like, I really want you to think about, you know, I don't like to think about goals and necessarily the things I want to achieve. I have to have that sort of big picture view, but I like to think of things more like the person I have to be to accomplish those things. So for me, like, when I set my New Year intentions, it's not about things or, you know, achievements or milestones. You have to have those things to make it measurable, right? To make sure you're going the right direction. But for me, it's the underlying things. It's about being a person who is dedicated, being a person who is disciplined, being a person who is capable of being uncomfortable without crumbling too badly anyway, because a lot of things in life are going to be uncomfortable, right? So I have to be good at that. So do you. We have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Life in general is fairly uncomfortable. So that's my, I think about those core things of who I want to be. So we're going to get some clarity on that who you want to be thing. Before we dig too much into that and starting 2021 on fire, first, I want to talk about closing down 2020 on a positive note. This is so important. I want you to really spend some time thinking about the things you're grateful for. And I think this year that's exceptionally challenging because we've had some exceptional circumstances to deal with and it's been really hard. But let's start with gratitude. Everything that happened this year wasn't bad. And as I review my 2020 intentions, and I look back on where I was a year ago setting intentions for 2020, a lot of things, there was no way. A lot of my things had to do with travel because I'm used to traveling a lot. You know, the last decade, I have traveled a lot. And if you remember, in the beginning of Addiction Unlimited, I recorded all of my interview episodes in person. So I had a lot of travel with that. Of course, my business is, you know, connecting with treatment centers and other recovery professionals all over the world. So I travel a lot for that. Doing interventions all over the country, I traveled a lot for that. So when I look at my 2020 intentions, there was a lot of travel in there. Also, just in nurturing myself, one of the things I had on 2020 is I really wanted to do some sort of retreat just for myself. A three-day, I don't even know what kind of retreat. I was just going to find something that sounded interesting. Maybe it would have been a yoga retreat. Maybe, I don't know, but I wanted to do a retreat just to feed my little soul and have some time for myself. Well, obviously I didn't get to do that, right? Or not in the way that I thought I was going to. So a lot of things we intended for 2020 just weren't possible. But that doesn't mean everything was a loss. I had a lot of really great things happen in 2020. We were all really challenged outside our comfort zone. And I want you to think about, what are your things in 2020 that you're really grateful for? It wasn't all bad, right? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your family? One of the things I will definitely say I have so much gratitude for is technology. In a couple of ways, because number one, technology allowed us to still be connected and to still communicate. We got to do Zoom meetings, right? When quarantine first happened, I was doing Zoom meetings every single day for people in our Facebook group. What a freaking incredible opportunity that was. I had no idea how much I would enjoy that or how much it would change everything, because doing those meetings with you guys, getting to see your faces on Zoom and hear about you and your lives and what you're struggling with, to put faces with names, it was fantastic. I'm so grateful for the technology we have today that gave us so many opportunities that we wouldn't have had before. Also, for all the support that's available online, right? Like, there is so much free support to change your life, not only with sobriety tools, but everything. I mean, I do whole series of stuff just in my regular life coaching, not focused on recovery, right? I do a whole series of stuff just for marketing and entrepreneurship. Like, all of those things I couldn't do without the technology we have at our fingertips. And I'm super grateful for that. The other thing I've thought a lot about this year is gratitude for my health and for being able-bodied. Being able-bodied is so important to me, and that's something that before I wouldn't think to even have gratitude for. But what an incredible thing that is. And that doesn't mean that physically and health-wise that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't have some issues going on. But for the most part, I am able-bodied and I can move about and I have that freedom. And I am so freaking grateful for that. I want to read this thing that I got to about exactly this, right? Closing down 2020 on a positive note and thinking about the things that were good about the year. And this is somebody that wrote in and she said, I spent 3 months quarantining in Texas and living with my parents this year. As a self-proclaimed city girl, this was something I would have never considered pre-pandemic. But I'm incredibly grateful for that time with my family. This year has really put things into perspective, and it's a daily reminder to appreciate and make time for the things that truly matter, like family and friends. Yes. Yes. There's a lot of gratitude in that. And I know at some points we spent too much time with our families and we can drive each other crazy too. But oh my gosh, like how grateful are you to even have the opportunity to get driven crazy by your kids or your spouse, right? Because we wouldn't want to be without them. We love them. We love our families. So definitely have some gratitude for that. And think about, how did you improve yourself through this craziness? Because I can see a lot of that for me too. There are a lot of things that I got to work on and fine tune in myself that I probably wouldn't have thought of, or I would have put off another year if I wasn't kind of in this situation forced to look at things differently and find different ways to do things. I want to read this other one, this other message from Courtney. She said, this year has challenged me in many ways, and my family has been there for me through it all. In a normal year, I'd never be able to spend multiple months at home with my parents and my sister. But because of quarantining and working from home, we've had the opportunity to have nightly dinners, game nights, movie marathons, pool days, and so much more. I'm so thankful for the time I've been able to spend at home. This year may have been tough, but that quality time has been a bright spot. Amazing. Think about all of those things, the opportunities that you got with your family and your friends. I got to do, we were calling them quarantine dinners with one of my girlfriends, you know, at the very beginning of quarantine. And she was really the only friend I was seeing. And we were super conservative and controlled. And, you know, I would go to her house and we would have dinner with her kids and her family. And it was amazing. And we would just hang out. It was really good because that's not something in the last several years that I've put any energy into because I'm so focused on work. So it's a great lesson for me that I need to be making time to do things like that and nurturing my friendships. I also want to talk about this ending 2020 on a positive note. Something my sponsor taught me years ago, how you end one thing is how you will begin the next. And he was teaching me this lesson in relationships and dating, right? And he said, how you end one relationship will directly affect how you begin your next one. And I've really hung on to this and relate it to so many areas of my life because it holds me to a higher standard of my own conduct, right? And personal responsibility and holding myself accountable to be the person I want to be and be brave even when I don't want to and it's uncomfortable. But like if you end a relationship in lies and chaos and dis-ease or, you know, being a schmuck, like how many times have I been ghosted, you know, where somebody just disappears because they don't have the courage to just have a conversation and go, hey, this isn't working out. I don't want to see you anymore, right? If you end something like that, bad, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And how can you end something and feel bad about yourself and have guilt and shame for how you handled it and beat yourself up for not being brave and then expect to go into the next thing healthy, right? It doesn't work. There's that dissonance again. So if you end something sort of cowardly or in chaos or drama, then that's how you're going to start the next thing. And we don't want to do that from 2020 to 2021. We want to close down 2020 on a positive note so that we can start 2021 on a positive note, feeling good, feeling strong, being clear on who we want to be moving forward and how we're going to make that happen. And that's another thing. In January, I'm doing a free webinar on setting our intentions, right? Remember last week's episode, I told you guys to be thinking about what your word for 2021 is going to be. And think about that. What's your word? Mine is going to be execute, because I need to execute on some things where I'm not following through and not finishing. That's going to be my word. But really think about this. How you end one thing is how you'll begin the next. I'm also a believer that if you're not grateful for where you are and what you currently have, then you're not ready for the next level. If you're sitting where you are, resentful, angry, disappointed, then you're not ready for the next level. Figure out your gratitude for where you are. Figure out the lessons you've learned. None of us are exactly where we want to be, right? Because we're kind of unfulfilled by nature, right? We're always the next thing, more, do this, do that. We don't take a lot of time to be content in where we are and be grateful for what we have. But this is a game changer. If you can't have gratitude for your life, for yourself, who you are in this moment, where you sit in this moment, if you can't find gratitude for that, then you're not ready to move on, right? And this is why we talk about that resentment is the biggest offender. If you're just pissed about where you are, pissed at yourself because you're not farther along in your sobriety, you're thinking you should be better than this by now, or why can't you get it? What's wrong with you? F 2020, I just want out of here. You know, if that's your thought process, you are definitely not ready to move on to the next stage. So think about that and get clear on how it's good where you are. What are the lessons you've learned? Where have you strengthened yourself through your struggles, right? Get grateful for where you are, or you're not ready for what's next. All right. That's a lot of information, you guys. I hope you love this episode. If you found a ton of value in here, which of course I hope you did, because that is the point of every episode, please share it with somebody. Think of a couple of people who are on the same journey or who might also like to get in that 5-day Go Dry Challenge, and share this episode with them so they can get signed up. The pop-up Facebook group opens next week, so we'll start sending emails out for that to get in there and start that good conversation. I'll be live in there every day, at least once, probably more. And that's www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day, number 5-day, D-A-Y. Of course, I will link that in the show notes. I hope you are having a fantastic day. Let's close this thing down on a positive, happy note, and let's start next year on fire. We want to be great next year. 2020 gave us some setbacks. It gave us some incredible lessons. It gave us some incredible time with our families. And we're ready for the next chapter. So let's make sure mentally we're ready for the next chapter. And we're starting from a space of being honest with ourselves about where we are, having clarity around our drinking and our habits and what's holding us back and what we need to work on. Get clarity around who you are in this moment and who you want to be in the next moment. And we're going to start working on that immediately. Okay? I love you guys. Have a great day. I will see you in that 5-day challenge. I'm so looking forward to it. And I'll talk to you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.